You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Founder Story. Today, we have Kyle Matthews. And Kyle, you are the founder and CEO of Matthews Real Estate Investment Services, the largest privately held commercial real estate brokerage in the U.S., 25 offices, 1,000 plus agents and employees, and over $66 billion in sales volume since 2015. I know you're going to give us some incredible tips and strategies of the success you've had, the learnings, but we got to go back in time because you have a very interesting past around a family of professional athletes, but yeah, you took a different approach. You took a different path. So let's go back to the time when you were in college, you were playing, the possibility of you maybe being a professional before you even thought about real estate. How did this transition happen?
Yeah, no, First of all, I appreciate you having me on, Daniel. And I love how you say I took a different path. It almost makes it sound like it was a strategic choice of mine. Unfortunately, that wasn't how it all played out. I was playing football at USC about, 20 years ago when we were winning a lot of games. We won national championships when I was there. We had a great coach in Pete Carroll and some amazing teammates and players that went on to the NFL. Unfortunately, I wasn't one of those players. I didn't have that. You know, there's levels to every game and there's certainly levels to football. And I didn't have that last level. And so, but it's not something, you really realize early on. It was at the very end of my 4 years at school when, coach sat me down heading my senior year and said, hey, we're going to go with someone younger. It's like, it kind of hits you just like a punch to the gut. And so there's somewhat a mourning of the athletic side, but really like, well, what am I going to do now? You know, because pretty much everyone in my family before me and subsequently after me had played in the NFL. And so I just, erroneously made the assumption that that would happen for me. And it just didn't. And so I knew I wanted to be in real estate. I like the idea of tangible assets. I like the idea of kind of a finance-based industry. But I, because of the football focus, I didn't really have the technical real estate skills that most people who want to go into real estate have coming out of college. I didn't go to real estate finance classes. I didn't necessarily know how to model or underwrite properties, but I wanted to be in the business. And so very quickly, I only had a couple months to kind of, accept the loss and take the L on the football side before I said, look, I got to get a job, right? And I want to be in real estate, but I wasn't going to get hired for an analyst position or development associate position, a typical entry level opportunity. And so really the only thing available to me, and it ended up being the biggest blessing professionally of my life, was brokerage, real estate brokerage, a service-based industry where you eventually, if you're good enough and you can communicate your value proposition to an owner, you're hired to provide services for owners when different services in the business, whether they're buying or selling properties, leasing properties, they need debt for properties, and there's a whole host of other services. But ultimately, that's what led me into real estate was me not achieving the success I was hoping for from a football perspective.
You've scaled exponentially. I mean, these numbers are incredible. And we were talking earlier, we've had people like Ryan Serhan on here before, but the numbers that you have are just exponential in this time frame. And I think a lot of people look at it and say, wow, I want to achieve that one day. And you've been doing this, or at least you started this company since 2015, which I'm sure you also had prior experiences. But what were some of the things that in the, when you scaled from, let's say, 0 to 10 million in sales, 10 to 100 million, 100 million to a billion, what were some of these transitions or some lessons that you learned?
Yeah. So, you know, what happened was I got into brokerage and I was a broker doing the deals, you know, on behalf of clients for about 10 years. And in 2015, I was presented an opportunity because of the company I was at. I had a chief success there. I think I was their top producer globally, and they were about to go public. And so they were changing some of the internal rules around prospecting and commission sharing and all that. And again, we don't need to get in the weeds there, but it didn't make sense for me to stay. And at that time in brokerage, you evolve into what's called teams, right? They're not formally branded, but they're teams where I was the senior agent, there were a couple people underneath me, younger agents, you know, that were, I was mentoring, but they were also involved in my deals. I was involved in theirs. And I had a couple employees, an analyst, some marketing people. And I was like, you know, I feel like I'm basically running my own little boutique here. I might as well just start my own thing. And that was ultimately how Matthew started. It wasn't this big plan of mine. It wasn't this, you know, well thought out vision or goal I had since I got into the business. It just kind of happened. And, you know, kind of silly me, I thought it would just stay small. And then it scaled very quickly. And to answer your question, it's also worth noting it was self-funded. So I have no outside investors, no LPs, no debt, like just funded it myself. And, you know, and started with 10 people, it became 20, 20 became 40, 40 became 80. And just every year we seem to be growing exponentially. Lessons I've learned along the way, especially as a founder of a self-funded company, is it is, you know, ignorance is bliss. The amount of work that goes into, especially the first couple of years, is I can't even prepare people for it. You know, it's basically every waking second of every day. I would get in the office typically at 5:45 in the morning. I'd stay till about 8:30 at night, Monday through Friday. Saturdays, I'd usually work 6-7 hours on Saturdays, and Sundays I'd typically go in. And it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle. And I don't mean that in you know, in terms of like it's this incredible lifestyle. It's a grind. And that was my experience. And because I attached my last name to the business, it was probably the best and worst thing I ever did. You know, it was the best thing that it created a lot of good, you know, brand synergy with who I was as a person. But the downside is if the business fails, then that failure is attached to my last name. And my father gave me a great last name and I wasn't going to mess it up. And I certainly wasn't going to assign failure to it. So it just kind of created this manic obsession, this crazy work ethic that, you know, just if any other lesson from starting a company, it's not a job. It's not something you can turn off. It is basically every second of every day until you have the resources to hire professional management. You have the resources to bring on great teammates to help you operate the company, which is, you know, luckily where we are today.
You bring up something that we've heard before with other incredibly successful people like yourself, that they had to be forced out to start the business. I find this common, like we work somewhere, it's pretty comfortable, but you know, we get fired, the business goes under, things change, whatever the reason is. And then we're, you know, forced out to then start something on your own. Going back to the feeling of when you transition, because it's, you know, obviously you transition from college thinking something, and then you had to do something else. You know, you get this brokerage job, you're doing well, senior agent, and then all of a sudden everything changes and now you got to go do something on your own. Were there fears, hesitations? What were some of those emotions thinking, okay, I'm going to start something on my own? Or were you in a place where you're like, you know what? I'm going to crush it. I have no fears. I have no hesitation.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm happy to hear that others have had a similar start to their career where they're almost forced into it. You know, I definitely am not a victim and wasn't in that moment. I could have stayed at the company I was at. It was a big publicly traded brokerage company. You know, you're doing north of $10 million a year in fee. It's a very comfortable life. And most people, it's like, why would you leave it? It's like, you don't unless something drastic changes. And that's what happened with the going public. Again, just the relationship between my business and the company, you know, changed significantly. And from me and my teammate standpoint, it changed for the worse. And so while it wasn't like I had to leave, I meant from an economics perspective, it just didn't make sense to stay. And so I surveyed the landscape. I looked at other companies. I was like, they're all the same. They all have this kind of structured kind of fiefdom fee sharing thing. And I said, well, then I'll just go do my own thing. And the answer to your question from an emotion standpoint, Yeah, there was fear. I mean, fear has always been probably the biggest driver for me, less so as you get older, but certainly when you're younger, it's kind of like, you know, oh, what if something bad happens? What if I fail? What if it flops? Like, it, you know, so much of the fear is driven by what will people think of me? And again, hopefully, and I've noticed this within myself, as you get older, you just care less, right? It's like the Churchill statement: in your 20s, you worry about what everyone's thinking about you. In your 40s, you stop caring about what everyone's thinking about you. And then they say in your 60s, you realize they were never thinking about you. Well, my fear was driven like, well, if I start this and I fail, oh my gosh, what are people going to think? And getting back to the last name, I don't want to be seen as a failure. On the other side, I think probably the biggest thing I had going for me, Daniel, just candidly, is ignorance is bliss. I was very naive to how hard it would be. I was very naive because I said, well, you know, I'm in brokerage. I'm doing great. I mean, clearly I figured out I'm 32 years old. I have all this money. Let's go do it. And it's just, there's so much more to operating a business versus just like providing a service. And, you know, people always ask, you know, knowing what you know now, would you do anything differently? And the cliche answer, which there's truth in it, is like, well, no, I wouldn't do anything differently because look at where I ended up. But it was certainly much harder, much more complicated. And really the word we use around here is sacrifice. There was so much more sacrifice in those first couple of years than I ever could have fathomed. And I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's a blessing to be where I am today. Could I do it all over again, knowing what I know now? I don't know, man. I don't know. Because, like, again, ignorance is bliss. If you don't know what you're getting into, when it hits you in the face, you're just like, well, I'm already committed. Let's get to work.
That is so true. It's better to not know the future. It's really better to not know the future in the sense of that, because I'm with you. If I knew everything that was going to happen, I would have ran from entrepreneurship. I would have just kept a corporate job. I like the ignorance is bliss. I want to go back to what you were talking around, you know, the grind of working so many hours. There's always this attraction to, at least on social media, there's this attraction like, I want to be a business owner because I want freedom. And I always think, like, when I had a corporate job, I had 160 hours of vacation a year. And when I left, I was able to leave and not think about any. I almost feel like when I had a corporate job, I had more freedom because I wasn't stuck. Like you're saying, like it's in the beginning, at least, you know, when you don't have like a lot of hands, other people that are working and you can do the business. But when you're really grinding, you're like really, you're stuck in it. You got to do it. How do you feel about this? Where I just see a lot on social media around everyone wants to be an entrepreneur because of the word, you know, the freedom and being able to work when they want, wherever they want.
You know, you bring up such a great point, freedom. And so, you know, I'm not trying to oversimplify life, but for the sake of our 20-minute interview today, let's say that there's a mental freedom and a financial freedom. And what they're talking about is like, hey, I want financial freedom. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be financially independent. It's a blessing to not have to worry about paying your bills. I think the number one cause of divorce in America, I could be wrong, is like a financial strife. And so, yeah, sure. If financial freedom is a blessing, and if it's creating tremendous anxiety and stress and worry and fear in your life, you know, in my humble opinion, you should work towards trying to put that to bed. But what I wasn't aware of, and this is kind of the point I think you're making, which I couldn't agree more with, is the mental freedom you lose. And I wasn't aware of that. So it's like, hey, I want to be a founder, to your point, social media. I want freedom. And financial freedom is a blessing. But what you give up for financial freedom, certainly for a period of years, let's call it, for me, you know, we're roughly a decade in, is the mental freedom from your work. And I can't necessarily represent that I've lived another life and I've been in a what I'll call a traditional job, but you're absolutely right. Like when you're an employee, or when, in my case, when you're an agent, you kind of have mental freedom where you're like, you know, you're only beholden to yourself. You're only responsible to yourself and or the clients you provide a service for. But as long as you're making more than you're spending and you feel good about your savings, that's it. Like, you kind of, you know, whether it goes up or goes down, the only person it affects is you. And there's a freedom in that. When you start a company, and whether you have 5 employees or, you know, in my case, like, let's call it 1,000 people, it's not about you. It's very much not about you. And that creates, while if business is good, it creates financial freedom, and that's great. Like I touched on earlier, you don't have mental freedom and you're never disconnected from work. And when I have 4 young children between the ages of, you know, 14, 11, 7, and 3. And so that, I would say, is the biggest focus I've had over the last couple of years, is especially as they've grown up and they're becoming young men and women, it's to be mentally free of my work when I'm home. And respectfully, that's something I've only been able to accomplish as the revenue and the net income of the company has really scaled, to hire professional management or promote within Matthews to actually help operate and run the company so that I can be present with my family and not have to be constantly tending to the business. But the first, Daniel, first 5, 6, 7 years, that was not how it was. And it was, like I said, it was, I definitely wasn't aware I signed up for that. And the financial freedom's always a blessing, but the mental, the loss of mental freedom from your work is a big, big challenge. And it's something that I wish every founder knew what they were signing up for when they start a business. I didn't know. And I think to your point, most people don't.
A lot of the regrets that we've heard from other founders who have been doing it for many years is in the beginning, the phase of not being able to really be there for their families, spouses, like all the issues that have come along with that, because they've had to put all of their energy into the business. And I've never heard this before, but I really, really like how you said the mental freedom. Because of that piece of not being mentally free, you can't do everything you want to do. And you have to sometimes choose between, you know, you maybe your family, or you have to take a work trip, or, you know, whatever that is. It'd be great to understand your development as a person, going from those early stages or the first 5 to 7 years to now, you know, transitioning to the CEO of all of these people. And how have you personally changed along as it's progressed further to closer to now?
Yeah, I would say the biggest development in me as a person and a CEO, and those are so intertwined, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I'm not a different person at home than I am here in terms of like kind of the foundational values and characteristics, is I would say when I was, you know, I'm 42 now. So when I was 32 and I started Matthews, I had such conviction and certainty about almost everything in life, whether it was parenting or business. And there comes so much inherent judgment in that. I was so judgmental, like, this is how it's done, and this is the way, and this is the right way, and this is wrong, and these people wrong, and I'm right, and look at my track record, and look at my results, and that's why you should follow me. And there's pluses and minuses. So as I've gotten older, I've become less judgmental and less, because I'm less certain. I'm like, well, I feel very strongly, and my experience taught me this, but maybe there is a different way. Maybe there is I won't say a better way, but another way, that it's not necessarily everything in life is a one size fits all, whether that's personal or professional. The value of being certain, and again, not necessarily judgmental, but the judgment part comes with the certainty that you're right at 32 years old, is that you have tremendous conviction. And if people actually buy into what you're teaching, coaching, or leading them towards, you could be very, very effective, right? I say this as humbly as possible. I'd like to think for a new CEO in 2015, roughly 10 years ago, 32 years old, I was very effective, as evidenced by the results. But I was certain that I was right, and there was one way, and it was the way I was doing it. As you're on this earth longer, whether it's as a business person, as a parent, anything, a teacher, a student, you just start to see like, oh, like that person also found success and they do it differently. Oh, this person did it the way I did it, but they didn't make, and you start to.
One of the best things I've ever done for my personal growth was picking up a new language, whether you're traveling, leveling up your career, or just love learning. Speaking another language opens up many doors, and Rosetta Stone makes it easier, more immersive, more fun. It's the leading language learning program available right on your desktop or mobile. Rosetta Stone helps you learn naturally, just like you picked up your first language, through real-world context and conversation, just practical skills you can use right away. What I love most is the true accent speech recognition. It gives you real-time feedback so your pronunciation actually sounds like a native speaker. With 30 years experience, millions of learners in 25 languages to choose from, like Spanish, also Tagalog, which I'm learning. Rosetta Stone is the go-to for anyone serious about learning fast and retaining it long-term. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Founder Story listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Starting your business should be simple. That's why I love what Northwest Registered Agent is doing. You can build your entire business identity in just 10 clicks and 10 minutes. Seriously, whether you're launching your first company or your fifth, you get more when you start with Northwest. More privacy, more guidance, and more freedom to run your business from anywhere. They've helped businesses grow for nearly 30 years, and they've got your back. For just $39 plus state fees, Northwest will form your business, create a custom website, and set up a local presence anywhere you need it. Want more? They'll protect your identity by using their address on your formation documents, and their premium mail forwarding gives you a real business address that keeps your home info private, which I have used this service for many years. Don't wait. Protect your privacy, build your brand, and set up your business in just 10 clicks in 10 minutes. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/founders and start building something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/founders. April is Earth Month, a time to reflect on the impact of our choices. Sustainability starts at home and especially in the bedroom. Did you know most mattresses end up in landfills within a decade? That's why I love Avocado Green Mattress, made with certified organic materials like latex, cotton, and wool. Avocado mattresses aren't just built for comfort. They're built to last. And lasting quality means fewer replacements, less waste, and a healthier planet. Every Avocado mattress is crafted ethically, climate neutral certified, and made in their own zero waste factory, diverting 85% of waste from landfills. This Earth Moon, choose sleep with purpose. Choose sustainability. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better for you and the planet.
From a parenting, you're like, oh, okay, now I know why my parents did this, or now I know why I shouldn't do that. You start to become exposed to more strategies, more paths to success, more ideas. And to answer your question, the biggest change in me is I'm much more willing to consider a different path. Now, I still have very strong opinions, and the guys and gals here would say, well, you know, that's funny Kyle says that because he's still very strong opinions. But I would say I would say if I can be accurate in my own self-assessment, which is very hard to do at times, is I'm much more open to hearing a different idea. Again, I'll still make the decision than I was maybe 10 years ago. I was like, nope, this is the way and I'm right and this is what we're going to do. Well, only because I was lucky enough to be born in my family, I've met so many of these athletes. I got to pick the one I never got to meet. And I was and still am the biggest fan of this person. And it's a shame I'll never get a chance to meet him, Kobe Bryant. There's so many amazing lessons to be learned by watching his life and his career. But so much of who I am as a person, let alone how I operate this company, is really a mindset mentality, foundation of mindset mentality. In fact, I have a podcast, The Matthews Mentality, where I sit down with high achievers across all industries. And yeah, I have them tell their story arc and where are you from and how'd you get in the business? But really I say, what are your motivations? What drive you? What is your why? And how has that changed? Because I find that fascinating about myself, how my motivation and my why has evolved over the years. And really a lot of my perspective and my curiosity about mentalities, mindsets, and really the drive, like what drives people to be great? You know, that 1%, and why does the other 99% have it to that degree? I don't know the answer to the question, but I'm certainly exploring it is because of Kobe Bryant. And I spent a lot of my time growing up in Los Angeles. I had the privilege of being a fan of the Lakers, still am. And so he brought a lot of joy to my life in terms of winning championships, like, you know, but I just, I am fascinated, and I find who he was so remarkable from a mental toughness. And that is one of the most attractive qualities I find in people, whether it's in my wife, what I hope my kids, you know, that we're working on that, but with my teammates here is I love skills. I love intelligence. I love emotional intelligence, but more than anything, I love mental toughness, because it's my humble opinion that mental toughness in yourself and or your teammates will see you through almost anything professionally life's going to throw at you, and personally too, but I'm, you know, I'm going to talk professional here, whether it's a recession, whether it's a, you know, a bad quarter, whether it's a bad product or something's not working. If you're mentally tough, you're going to find a way to push through it and keep working and not give up. Most people in real estate who fail, they don't fail because they don't have the acuity. They're not smart enough. They're not even emotionally intelligent. That's not it. It's just because they're not mentally tough enough. And when it gets hard over a long enough period of time, they give up. And the reason I'd want to meet Kobe Bryant, to your question, and spend time with him is just like, I've found I'm most inspired when I'm the least motivated person in the room. And, you know, that's hard to do. I'm very motivated. I'm very driven. I think my reputation within my industry, you know, kind of precedes me in terms of my work ethic. And I, you know, the culture of the company is a shadow of the CEO. Like the work ethic at Matthews is hardcore, right? And, but it's really, you know, a lot of it being inspired by Kobe Bryant and the way he approached his career, you know, that would be it. Kobe for sure on the athlete side. And again, part of it is I've had the opportunity to hang out with a lot of the best football players and I love them all, but yeah, it would be Kobe for me. From a professional standpoint, it's such a cliche answer. And, you know, I have to provide a disclaimer. This is not meant in a political sense, you know, so it's Elon Musk. I think what the guy, just from a professional standpoint, what he's been able to achieve, you know, obviously the PayPal thing was great and he had incredible teammates there. And, you know, so many of them, Reid Hoffman or Peter Thiel or, you know, David Sachs, but how in the world does a guy build a car company from scratch? He builds a rocket, you know, SpaceX from scratch. Like it's insane. Like how does he do it? You know, how does he find the time? You know, does he sleep? But really, is he just naturally gifted? I'd love to hear how he's evolved as a leader in the time and, you know, maybe what perspective or what he'd do differently. But, you know, again, putting what he's working on aside right now, it's fascinating. And I'd love to just spend time with the guy. And because I got one job, you know, here, and it's a company. Okay, there's 1,000 people. It's big. But like, man, it takes so much. And every night I'm crawling to bed, right? That and the 4 kids, like it exhausts you. But how in the world does he does it? You know, the companies are bigger, certainly more public. I mean, he has a gas tank. He has a resolve. Getting back to mental toughness, that guy, at least right now, is showing he's mentally tougher than I ever could be. I don't even know how he's dealing with what he's dealing right now, but it would definitely be Elon.
Thank you for sharing that. I really love both answers. I could totally relate to those things. We got to spend a day with Gary Vee, and from an energy perspective, that guy has more energy than anyone I've ever experienced in my life. I don't even know how he does it, man. That guy goes 24/7 at 100 miles a second. And I was really, really amazed at all the things I learned that day. I just could not believe how much energy. I was tired.
Some people are just built different, and those guys are built different. And getting back to, you know, kind of how I've changed over the years, like when I was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I don't want to say a hater, but I'm like, well, you know, I could do that or I could do this. And now I'm just like, nah, that guy, he's just a savage, or that gal, like she's smarter than me. She better than me. As you get older, and I think part of it professionally, you get comfortable with what you've accomplished. It's so much easier to give people their flowers and say, no, that person is just like that. I look up to that person. And there's every day I look up to more and more people, because as I gain perspective in life as a CEO, as a father, as a husband, and as a friend, I just realize how much harder it is and how much more complicated everything in life is than maybe I thought, you know, when I was 22 coming out of college and I had it all figured out. And so, you know, again, looking at what Kobe was able to accomplish, or Elon, and there really are a lot of examples, but those two stand out as it relates to your question. It's such it's incredible, and it's a privilege to have been able to learn from both of them. Even if it's, you know, from afar, from arm's length, I haven't had the opportunity to meet either of them, but yeah, just both of those people I look up to tremendously.
Thank you for sharing that, by the way. This has been really great. We could probably talk for another hour. I have tons more questions, so you got to come back, and then we can dive into whatever's been changing. I mean, the real estate industry, I am very fascinated with it. We have to do a whole show that's even talking about the state of things. I'm curious about that. But if people want to get in touch with you, Kyle, how can they do so?
Yeah, you could look. I have social media. This is something I just started a year or two ago. So speaking of Serhan, I got to get on. He's looking up to him, man. He is the best. He's the best from a branding and marketing. So credit to Serhan. I got to I have to step up my game. But on X, I always want to call it Twitter, on X, on Instagram, it's at Kyle Matthews CEO. You could DM me and I do the best I can to respond to him in a certain amount of time. Obviously, LinkedIn, just look up Kyle Matthews. The website, matthews.com. If you have anything commercial real estate from a service need, we're in pretty much every market, you know, definitely all the larger ones. And so, have Ryan and I back to talk all things real estate. He's on the residential side. I'm on the commercial side. And I mean, to your point, that's an hour long conversation with what's going on with rates, supply and demand, follow the jobs. Like there's so much into real estate that I'd love to talk about, but that's a longer conversation for a different day.
I would like to, we're looking at doing more roundtable discussions. So I'm going to make that happen.
Make it happen.
Back, and we'll do it in person because I think that'll be even more interesting. But Kyle, thank you so much. This has been great. I learned a lot. I got a lot of great sound bites that I want to share with other people. And I'm always appreciative because our mission is to impact 100 million people here at Founder Story. So the more that we can share your story and amplify that, I know people are going to be inspired. So thank you so much. And we're honored to have you on today.
I'm honored to be here, Daniel. I can't thank you enough. Thank the audience for listening. And my one last thing is, and I tell people here all the time, if I can do it, you can do it. I don't have a unique skill. I don't consider myself that smart or emotional intelligence is okay. It's just, it's hard work, mental toughness, and just pushing through. So if you're thinking about starting a business, just go for it, man. You know, fear is not the reason not to do something.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.